Hello?
Wait, hold on.
Check, check, check. We're good?
All right.
Good morning. We missed you all last week. My wife and I were on a retreat that the Christian Missionary Alliance is putting on. It was a wonderful time to get away with my beautiful bride. No kids, no dogs, no stress of everyday life and influences that bother us throughout the week, every day, 24 hours a day sometimes. Got to rest, and, well, I got to rest. I got to meet some more people. My wife sometimes had to go to the room to get her rest, you know, and that's understandable. You know, we are both very different people, but we're very much alike. God put us together. We are a wonderful team. So thankful for her. Anyway, so I hope you all got my text last week that I sent to Brother Gary to share with you all that we loved you and missed you guys, and was learning a lot of networking was going on. You see, churches across the board, the capital C church, are a network. You know, we should be to be going outside and sharing the gospel with everybody. It's not just the pastor's job to share the gospel with people. I want you all to know that. It's everybody's job. So anyway, with that being said, that was just something that I wanted to take time and speak into a little bit. Had a great time with her. And then yesterday, went to Envision. This week has been information overload. Has anybody ever had information overload in a whole week? Like, I'm talking lots of information. If you were in my board meeting, you would know that I was trying to land some planes, you know, because I've got so much information going on right here. And, you know, I think a lot of it's from the Holy Spirit. Some of it could be, you know, just me thinking. Anyway, so I would like to share with you a little bit before I dive in here, just some of that information. Yesterday, you know, I got to hang out with Daniel, just me and him. And we went to the, like you said, we went there. And that was awesome. You get to spend time with Daniel. And he was participating in this church leadership. You know, it was all church leadership across the CMA district, right? There was a bunch of different CMA churches present. And Daniel was participating and getting to know people. And, you know, they had Ethiopian pastors. They had Chinese pastors. They had Korean pastors, they had, you know, obviously American pastors, all in Columbus. And they have pockets of, like, in Columbus they have, the Ethiopians are reaching the African community, you know, from Africa. The Chinese are learning Arabic, or they have somebody who's learning Arabic to reach the Afghanistan refugees who came across the waters to safety, right? That's what America is. It's supposed to be about safety and, you know, refuge. And this family that the Chinese pastor said, you know, they have 17 people taking care of this one Afghanistan family who have no income, no means of food or anything. And so they're learning Arabic, and they took them to a mosque that was handing out food. And the Afghanistan family was like, I had no idea that the mosque was even handing out free food. If I would have not, how did you know that? You know, that's what they were asking the lady that took them. You know, that was there yesterday. Building relationships is what we have to do as Christians to be able to share the gospel with people. You can't just go up to people in this day and age and, unless if you're being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not gonna say you can't, but more oftentimes than not, and now in today's culture, you have to build a relationship with somebody to be able to share the gospel, right? So anyway, that's what they were doing yesterday, and envisioning, you know, it was all about discipleship. You know, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. was all about discipleship. There was a ton of information going on. So between last week and this week, last weekend and this weekend, a lot of information, right? Well, Tuesday night after our meeting, all of a sudden, like, Well, during the meeting, my phone was like blown up, you know, just blowing up, blowing up. And all of a sudden, all these people were starting to ask for prayer requests, like, hey, this guy, you know, Damien, John McCurdy, you know, I know Brittany shared some prayer requests this week. And it was like one right after the other, right? And so Wednesday, it kept going. Like, people were, like, you know, needing a lot of prayer this week. And I was like, hey, you know, that's why I sent out a group text to the church and said, hey, I think I'm going to open up the church building at 2 o'clock and just have, you know, if anybody wants to come pray for the church, you know, because there was a lot going on. There's a lot of information. I sent a text to my mom and said, hey, Mom, I need some prayer. Like, you know, because there's just, how do you absorb that to be able to send it out without giving out too much information? Because not everybody wants their personal business out there, you know. Anyway, information overload. So I apologize if this is information overload, but that's kind of, you know, why we meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ, is to go over this information and to soak it in prayer. You know, we are a network of believers to do one mission, and that is to what? Make disciples, right? So we come into this church building to equip you to go out. Church is not supposed to be where you're... Church can be where you come to Christ, but it's not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be equipping to send out. That's what church is supposed to be about. Anyway, with that being said, I'm going to go and talk about Paul a little bit before we jump into Titus. Today's sermon series is going to be on Titus 2, 1 through 5. Guys, there's a lot of information in Titus. I was going to do all 13 verses, but I was like, no, that's not happening. Especially since I'm going to go over Paul. But before I dive into this scripture, again, I just wanted to share some of the things that were going on this week. And, you know, how the Holy Spirit is always moving and always working and networking. And it's really good to see across, you know, the Christian Missionary Alliance how God is moving in all these places. You know, Columbus, and, you know, I got to meet a pastor couple last week who is starting a recovery church in Columbus, you know, for addicts and stuff. And so I was like, wow, you know, that's really cool. You know, and we got to share a little bit about Brianna's Hope. You know, there's all kinds of moving pieces that are there to help people come to know Christ. And let's go to Lord in prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you that you are a God that is steadfast. You never waver. You always keep your promises. You equip us to do the mission that you've called us to do. God, right now there's a mission to share the word with these people. And I just ask that I can step out of the way and that they hear from the Holy Spirit, the word of God, your word, Lord, and that this will be a time of growth and equipping to be able to send out to help share the gospel amongst our neighbors, co-workers, and people around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. So I wanted to share with you real quick, Acts 27, 5 through 15. I'm just going to read this because this is where Paul is running into Crete. Go back to the map. Yeah. So Paul's voyage to Crete. Pretty self-explanatory there. I did borrow this off of Google. I looked it up. But I was trying to find a representation of Crete. You know, Crete's a small island out there in the middle of nowhere, and that's where Paul was being sent. So Paul was arrested. This is what's going on. Paul was arrested, and it was picking up in verse 5. And when we had sailed across the open sea, along the coast of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra and Lycia. There, the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy and put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, and as the wind did not allow us to go farther, we sailed around under the lee of Crete off of, I want to say salmon, like salmonae or whatever. Looks like a fish, but salmon. Okay, we'll go with that word. But so salmon's way up there. So I wanted to give you a representation. He's stuck right there. There's much difficulty right up there at the tip over there, you know, Cape Sidereo. Sounds like I'm trying to say Lord of the Rings terms here. But anyway, that's where they're at. He's stuck with much difficulty. The wind is fighting against them and everything. Coasting along it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia. Since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only the cargo and the ship, but also our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to Paul, to what Paul had said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both the southwest and the northwest, and spend the winter there. Now, the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. They weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, close to the shore. But soon, a tempestuous wind called the Northeaster struck down from the land, and when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driving along. So they were stuck there. That's how Paul came into Crete. You know, he was sailing around Crete. And, you know, so we know that Titus was sent by Paul to Crete as a young pastor to teach the Cretans about the word of God and the gospel. But I wanted to go back to the book of Acts and share, you know, it puts you a better representation of what Paul was dealing with. You know, Paul had a mission mindset. He was a chief disciple maker amongst disciple makers. You know, he did not care who he came across. He was going to share the gospel. So many people were chained to Paul, had to listen to him. They wanted him to be quiet, but he shared the gospel anyway. You know, they didn't care if it was midnight. They were going to be singing praises to God and sharing the gospel, right? You know, so he didn't care that he was on a ship arrested. And really, he had a lot of wisdom. And he was like, "Hey, guys, you know, we have some issues going on here." You know, and they didn't listen to him. So they're stuck. They're stuck there in Crete for a while. You could go back and finish the rest of the story if you'd like. Read the rest of Acts 27. But I wanted to, give you that representation of, it's kind of cool to see a visual of what's going on, you know, where he was at. And, you know, they put it in Fair Havens, and then they were out, you know, they were sailing out in the middle of the sea thinking that everything was all good, and all of a sudden a wind came up. Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong, they have northeastern winds kind of like up in Massachusetts, right? Nor'easter? Yeah. So they experienced that over there in New England. Nor'easters all the time. So that's what happened. That's how Paul was, why Paul was in Crete. So I was going to share a cool little funny ha-ha video with you all. I spent several hours working on a nice, beautiful PowerPoint. And there's a reason why people have the gift of media. I don't have that gift. I sent over all my stuff and my video didn't work. I'm so bummed. So there's going to be a little piece in your notes, Becky. Just scratch it out. We don't want to be like the guy wearing a football helmet. Try to witness to people. Just scratch that out. Again, so still in my introduction here, if you weren't here last week, we were talking about the main themes of Titus, and I'm just going to reiterate those real quick in case you weren't here. The need for proper leadership was 1 through 5 through 9. You can go. One more. Again, it was written by Paul between AD 62 and 64. This is for people who weren't here before. Main themes, the need for proper leadership, which we talked about last week. Watching for false teachers, the week before, last week. How to live as a true believer, that was 2, 1 through 3. And then principles of the gospel, 3, 3 through 7. Really, chapter 2 is all about how we should conduct ourselves. But I just want to share that with you. And then, of course, yesterday I've already mentioned Daniel and I's conference that we got to go to. And there were a few questions that they asked that made me stop to think how I can teach others about faith, growing in the Lord, and discipleship. The next couple of points, I hope to be looking at Scripture to answer these questions. Number one, what does God want us as believers? What does God want from us as believers and leaders of the church? Believers and then leaders as we're leading, you know, the rest of the church. Number two, what would it look like if God got what he wanted? That was a question they asked. What would it look like if God got what he wanted? Titus is telling us how to act as men and women and to teach our children the Bible, what the Bible says too. You know, we are discipling the young to be raised them up to be the next generation leaders in the church and in their workplaces. Uh-oh. Rewind. I think I got rid of my page too fast. I did. Sorry, guys. My first point is going to be self-controlled. All right. For your note takers, there's your notes. Titus 2, 1 through 3 says this. But as for you, teach what accords with the sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and steadfastness. I'm going to stop right there. Men, I'm going to pick on us for a little bit. My ESV study Bible says this, quote, "But as for you," indicates the sharp contrast that must exist between the people, on one hand, whose deeds disprove their claim to know God. Back in 1:16 of Titus, the verse says, "They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work." So Titus is really ripping them apart and saying, look, you say you believe in God, but your works and your actions don't show that you believe in God. You say one thing and you're doing another. We as Christians do this all the time. We say we believe in God and we live like the world. You cannot serve Satan and God at the same time. It just doesn't happen. You're going to be torn to pieces. So I thought it was really good. And Titus, on the other hand, who must teach the people to live in a way that accords with sound doctrine, that will affirm rather than deny their claim to know God. 2 Timothy 2:15 through 16. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but it just fits right here. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. I'm sorry, that's 2 Timothy, not Titus. So we're good. Information overload. Sorry. So 2 Timothy is going along with Titus 1:16 and talking about how we should conduct ourselves. 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness." This is what God wants from us as leaders in our home, work, and daily life. We are to not be sounding gongs. We are to know our doctrine. We are to know the gospel inside and out, and we are to make sure we are not leading people astray. Children are watching everything we do. My children call me out all the time. Hey, Dad, you said this, but you did this. Gotta love them. Gotta love kids. Out of the mouth of babes, right? Sometimes they're more brutally honest than we are. Sometimes I think that's Holy Spirit-led. Sometimes I think they're just doing it out of attitude. But either way, if there's truth to it, you got to receive it. They are listening to everything we say and acting the way we act. We ought to be very careful how we conduct ourselves as a Christian. Also, non-believers are watching, to see how we slip up. I cannot tell you how many times, after I became a Christian, hey, you're a Christian, but you just said that. Hey, you're a Christian. You know, again, approved workmen are not ashamed, right? That's what that 2 Timothy 2:15, it's a wanna. That's where a wanna comes from. Approved workmen are not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. You know, now, does that mean as a Christian we're going to be perfect? No. We're going to slip up. But how we act in that slip up is what makes the difference. Older men, we are to set examples as leaders. Men are to be sober-minded and be able to think clearly. You cannot be drunk and be a good leader. It just doesn't happen. You know, in the military, they don't allow alcohol over in a war zone at all. You know, for multiple reasons. One of them is that, you know, the colonels and the generals have to be able to lead soldiers who are on the front line, and if they're drunk, they're likely to slip up and cause us to get killed, right? As men and leaders of the church, our children are watching us, and if we're always drunk, how are we going to lead them to Christ? Have to be sober-minded. Men are to be self-controlled. Well, as many of you know, you heard out of my son Matthew that, you know, I sometimes struggle with anger, right? Now, as I've been working on sanctification, and as God has been working on my heart, leading me, my anger has gotten better and better and better. Will I always have a little bit of a struggle with anger? Probably. It just, you know, perfectly not. I mean, I would love to say, you know, I never will struggle with anger again. I don't know. But also, being a dad, my kids anger me. Don't touch the TV. Turn it on. Don't eat the snack. They eat it. Don't hit the dog. They kick it. Don't do this. I mean, you see what I'm saying? So I think there's righteous anger, you know, but we have to be self-controlled when we're disciplining our kids as men. You know, you can't lash out and mistreat your kids and raise them to be, you don't want your kids to grow up to be anxious. You don't want your kids to grow up and feel like they're always going to do something wrong, right? We have to be self-controlled as men. And that's hard. You know, that's hard because, you know, we have all these emotions as human beings. God created every single human being differently. Men, I told you I was going to pick on us for a little bit. It's hard. Titus was not very nice to me this week. Men are to set examples for their children and to teach them sound doctrine, the word. Men are to love their children. Men are to love their children. I think we sometimes miss the mark on love. You know, we are all about discipline, stern, do this, don't do this, do this, do your chores, do your homework, blah, blah, blah. You know, but sometimes you get to sit back and hang out with your kid for a day. No discipline, no talk, just hanging out, listening to music on the way up, hanging out, listening to music on the way back. You know what I mean? Showing the love there. You know, God loves us. God is love. He is a judgment. He's a God of judgment. He will judge us according to our, you know, our actions. He will love us through it, though. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And by the end, you don't feel like you're thrown to the wolves. You understand that you disobeyed, but he loves you, And then he'll comfort you too, you know, after you repent. Love your kids. It's hard sometimes. But they're watching. They're always watching, men. Men are always watching us. So we want to make sure we love our kids well. Women, here we go. Don't fire me after this sermon, okay? I was worried about that this week, all right? I was really worried about how I was going to preach some of this stuff. So picking up in verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Women, children are watching everything you do, listening to everything you say, and acting the way you act. You ought to be very careful on how you conduct yourself as a Christian. Older women are to set good examples as leaders. Yes, there are women who are leaders in the military, all around us. There are leaders, you know, in the Christian Missionary Alliance, they have a ton of women who are in leadership that are very godly. They're not pastors of churches. They're just leaders. Women are to love their husbands. Guys, we are to cause our women to love us. We can't be mean to our wife and expect them to love us. You can't belittle your wife and say, you're stupid, that dinner was terrible, and then expect them to want to cuddle with you later. This doesn't work. But women are to love your husbands. I think that's kind of hard when we're not being nice. But when we're all human, folks, I want to share this. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We're not perfect. You know, there's a reason why Titus is telling the Cretans this, because the women at that time were lazy. The men would go out and they'd work all day and come home, and the women stayed home. They didn't have jobs. Their job was to take care of the household at that time. And they weren't taking care of anything. They were just sitting around eating potato chips on a cement couch. You know, they didn't have TV back then. They didn't have, you know, Days of Our Lives. Well, maybe they did. Maybe they talked about Days of Our Lives. They didn't watch it, you know. They didn't have the soap. Well, they lived out the soap opera, I guess. But anyway, they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. Titus was telling them, like, look, ladies, okay, I picked on the men first because men are the leaders of the household, but I'm going to pick on you next because you also are setting an example for your kids. Generationally, the older people, the elderly, the ones who have all the wisdom that God allowed them to live this long, to have wisdom in the church, are to disciple the younger. To go and make disciples, right? That's really what all this is all about. Sound doctrine. Be steadfast. Do not waver in your faith. You know, he says that in the top of verse 2. Do not waver in your faith. Know what you believe and stay to it. It does not help if you go from Christianity one week and Buddhist to another week and Islam to another week and because then you're indoctrinating them with all this false doctrine. The only doctrine that is true is from the Word of God. You cannot waver from it. And ladies, the same way. You read your Bible, God speaks to you, the Holy Spirit tells you something, and you teach the kids what God is teaching you. When I think of a leader, don't switch the slide just yet. I'll tell you. When I think of a leader, I look at my wife, and by the way, I did have permission to share this. She's hardworking at school. She's in college. She's taking college classes. She's taking 4 classes right now while taking care of 3 kids. And a husband. She takes care of the household. She makes sure the house is running smoothly with groceries. And sometimes I have to chastise myself because I get a little bit upset about money right now. With inflation and everything, you know, it's through the roof. So I have to love my wife when she goes grocery shopping for the household and not make her feel bad. And sometimes I do. I'm guilty of that. But she makes sure that we have food in the house. And healthy food. It's not junk food. You know, it's not sugar. It's stuff to, and she even buys stuff, you know, for me to be able to do my thing, my hobby, right? Which you all know what it is. Setting up the appointments. She sets up all the doctor's appointments. Now, she does not run them all to the doctor's appointments. Sometimes I can help out, you know. I have a pretty good job that allows me to do that, prayerfully and thankfully, right? And so I get to help out with the kids now. I'm not stuck at City Barbecue in a box. I can have some freeway to help out around the house. But she sets up appointments. This is what my wife does. And she's setting an example with her health. Folks, that was my wife a year ago before she started CrossFit. That's her now, lifting weights a year later. She is setting an example for our kids. She's discipling our kids through good health. And let me tell you something, it's working. Daniel works out in the garage. I see him working out, lifting weights, doing stuff, stepping up on the stepper and listening to music and stuff like that while he's doing it. Chloe is in gymnastics, but she also likes to come and do what mom's doing sometimes at home. And Matthew, well, he's Matthew. He plays basketball and baseball, and, you know, he could sit there and play video games for 5 hours and not do a thing and still go run 3 miles and not be winded. My wife is setting the example for my kids. With health, and really I am too. I mean, but as a woman, she's doing a fantastic job training our kids with their health, because if you're not healthy, it affects your spiritual life too, because you're always tired. You know, so you don't give time to God because you're so tired all the time. Now, I'm not saying that if you're struggling with weight, you know, I don't want you to think like, oh my goodness, he's beating me up. I'm not, okay? I don't want you guys to feel that at all. But she took it on a personal, like, I need to get healthy because I want to be around for my kids and grandkids. So that's her. I'm just so proud of her, and I felt like it fit in with this scripture really well today. Next slide. I wanted to share that with you. As I looked up keeper of the home in the Greek, the word oikoros, which means keeper of the home, it is a compound word. Oikos, meaning household, house, family. The church has an oikos feeling to it. Sarah and I got to go to Ignite training, and they talked about that word oikos, you know. We want to invite people into our oikos, our family, our, you know, we want them to feel loved, and we want them to know that we have the correct doctrine and correct teaching, right? That's the word oikos. But then the other word, here it is. Be a guard, a watcher, or in simpler terms, watching the house. So back in the day, when they fought with, well, even now, but way back in the day, women did not go to battle. They stayed home, tended the gardens, watched the kids while the men were out fighting for years on end, campaigning for the king and doing all the stuff that they were doing. But sometimes men didn't go to war, right? We obviously know the story of King David. He skipped out on that battle that day, right? But women were able to fight at home. They knew battle strategy. They were defenders of the house. They were wardens, you know. I can remember, you know, my mom, man, God love her. She had to love us through a lot. Sometimes she acted, you know, like a warden. And mom, I know you're going to be listening to this later. I love you. You know, she had to act, she had to be disciplined, right? She had to discipline us because my dad was deployed. So I want you guys to think about that when it says, you know, there are to be keepers of the house in that verse. It's watcher. It's a guardian. Taking care of the children, tending the garden, making them the food, and keeping watch. Now, in this day and age, I want to share this with you. Men, if your women are at work, working 15 hours, and you have a day off, cook dinner. Cook dinner for your wife and kids. Don't make her go work 15 hours and then come home and make her make dinner. It don't make no sense. Be a team player. Love your spouse. Love each other like, you know, how Christ loved us. Jesus made dinner for people. We can too. Point number two. This is what God wants. I think you can go to the next slide. Yeah. Nope, back. God wants. This is what God wants. Number one, God wants for all people to hear the word of God. This is what God wants. God wants people to take ownership in their life with Jesus. It is not my job, it's not Brother Tim's job, it's not Brother Fish's job, it's not Brother Gary's job to make sure you have a life of Christ. We share what God is teaching us, but it's your responsibility to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't do it for you. God wants to have a life with you. Take ownership of it. God wants us to practice faith-filled risk, not just sit back and let others take the risks. You wonder why the church in America is dying? It's because we ain't taking risks. If a church ain't praying, what are we doing, Brother Tim? Playing. So we pray for the Holy Spirit to help us take those risks, the necessary risks to go out and have the sound doctrine and make sure we're being good examples for those amongst us. God wants his kingdom to grow. Discipleship, right? Gospel access can only be created from the outside. We serve our own and those nearby. That's the neighborhoods, right? This is what God wants. He wants us to reach people from the outside. We serve that Acts 1:8, Judea, Samaria, right? Your neighborhood, your workplace, all right? And reach beyond the, here. This is a cool sign. I don't know how much it was, but, you know, it's over back in the back all the time. I thought I'd use it as a little bit of a sermon illustration here. This is what God wants us to do. This is why we have sound doctrine, by the way. This is why we are disciplined as men and women, and this is why we teach our children so that when they go to Wayne High School and they're being taught that Christianity is the problem that we have in America and the worldwide, they know that that's false doctrine. Okay. We want to be able to reach beyond to people still lacking, right? There are people who are not hearing the gospel. It's just happening. I mean, they said in Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee, 15 million people. How many people are in America? I don't know the statistics very well. Okay, let me put it this way. There are a ton of people who still have not heard the gospel, right? And Jesus wants us to be discipling others around us, to go outside, to help the neighbor, you know, neighbors, to reach those who are still lacking. And then the gospel access is sustained and multiplied from the inside to build church networks that serve their own. Remember, I talked to you about networking in the beginning of the sermon. You know, why is networking so important? You know, in a job, in a factory, they have networks. You know, they don't have the same people doing the same stuff. People have to buy things and know what they're doing, right? Same thing with the church network. You have people who are praying. You have people who are preaching. You have people who are teaching. You have people who are even cooking meals and doing that kind of stuff. It's a network, right? All for what? All because we want to share the good news, which is what the gospel is. We want to share the good news with people. And then to be able to send out and reach beyond still to others. That's what the Alliance is, you know, really all about. Sending out to be disciple makers. And this is how we're going to build the church, by the way. The church will grow organically if we're doing discipleship correctly. We talk about that as elders and leaders all the time. And Titus was telling the Cretans, if you want the church to be healthy and grow, you have to be able to do that correctly. You have to know what you're talking about. And that's why he picked on the men first and then the women and everything else. So I stopped at verse 5. So we're doing a sermon series on Titus, right? So I stopped at verse 5 because see how much information was just in those first 5 verses? It's a lot. God wants his kingdom to grow. And then I heard this saying yesterday. We gather to equip to scatter. We gather to equip, Word of God, equipping you for you to go out and make disciples. Everybody is called to share the gospel. Jesus isn't an 800 number to call when in need. You've heard a saying like this, God is not a genie that you just rub the lamp when you're in trouble. Jesus is not that 800 number call when your computer goes down. He is the life-giving, life-altering sanctifier, and God wants us to live in Christ. Sanctifier, right? The process of becoming more like Christ. It is a lifelong journey. The first step is admitting that you have a sin issue. The second step is believing. Third step, what? Committing your life to Christ, right? And to start growing, changing. It's a lifelong process. You don't immediately become like, we're never going to be perfect. But we become more like Christ if we're doing the things correctly. Jesus is not that 800 number. That was something that I wrote yesterday when I was listening to what they were talking about. They were talking about calling it ITT or something like that for help, or you know. And then I was like, you know, wow. God was like, hey, I want you to share this. He's not that 800 number to call. He is that life giver, life altering. You go from death to life. Life altering. All right. Point number 3. Maybe you're here and you don't know the truth. You don't know God. I'll give you a couple of scriptures here. Or one. Here is how to know God. This is what God wants. God wants a personal relationship with all of us. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And that this is not of your own doing. It is a free gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. Right? Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace. So God's grace, his sending his son to be that sacrifice on the cross, so that we can believe in Jesus through faith, right? I have not seen Jesus in person, but I know he exists, just like I know that the wind rips shingles off my roof every time it's windy, right? That's how I know Jesus is real, because the Bible says he's real, and Jesus was the Word and is the Word, and he's still active today, right? Through faith. And it's not your own doing. You can't save yourself. You can't save yourself. It's a free gift. And people are like, I don't want God. They say that. I don't want him. I can't believe in God. It don't make no sense to me. All you have to do is look around and see that there was a creator. I don't know about anybody you, but I can't make a moon and hang it in the sky. I can't create dust to make a human being and breathe life into it. God did in Genesis 1. He breathed the very life of, when you, that was an eye-opener, by the way. One day, I was reading the book of Genesis, and it said that God breathed life into Adam. God's breath. And there was a conviction there that I about to be very careful about what I say out of my mouth, because it's literally the breath of God coming out of my mouth. That was a conviction a long time ago. Be careful what you say. Not a result of works. You can't work your way into heaven, folks. You cannot, and you can't pay your way into heaven. Oh, I'll just donate all this money to the church and I'm good. No, you can't pay your way into heaven. It doesn't work that way. It's simple, though. Through faith, you believe in God, and you become children of God, heirs to his throne, because of God's grace and mercy. That's what God wants. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to be steadfast as men and women. He wants us to be teaching our children the correct doctrine, and he wants us to be teaching other people correct doctrine, be sound in doctrine. That's what Titus was talking to these people about. That's what God wants. So that way we can reach the 15 million people or billions of people that are still lost out there. So that way when Afghanistan refugees are living up the street, you can go up to them and help them and build that relationship with them so that you could share the gospel with them in hopes that Jesus will be able to infiltrate, right? Because we want them to come to know Christ. The Holy Spirit, we pray ahead of time. We pray that the Holy Spirit be working the entire time so that way when it's time, they're ready. But maybe you're just there to plant the seed and you don't get to see it grow. That's fine. Plant the seed. Be obedient. That's what God wants. Deeper Life Group, we went through a book on discipleship, and it was very, very good. It was teaching us how to share the gospel with people, and we had great discussions around the table. For weeks, we had great discussions. I cannot tell you how many times we've laughed and, you know, almost cried and got to share some good food, but spiritual food, too. We were chomping on some stuff about discipleship, baptism, and, you know, how do you share your faith, and even proper etiquette. Right? But would I agree, if you guys have been to Deeper Life, speak into that. Would you agree that it was really, really good? Yeah. It's a family time. It's the oikos, right? That Greek word there, oikos, a family time around the table where we're equipping one another to go out and share the gospel. That's what that discipleship book was about. And by the way, we're in the book of Mark now. And we're going to be going, and if you don't have Right Now Media, this is, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you do not have Right Now Media and you belong to this church, you have I can give you access to Right Now Media. And if you don't have Right Now Media and you don't have technology to have Right Now Media, share with one of somebody. We will hook you up at the church somehow, you know, whether we come as a family and watch. There's Francis Chan does a Gospel of Mark. And he's standing literally in the Jordan River talking about the book of Mark. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. Right Now Media. So if you don't have it and you'd like it, we'll try to help you out. Anyway, Deeper Life. That's what's coming up, the book of Mark. I'm not stealing your thunder there, Brother Gary. We come together and Titus, right? They were talking about that. I'm going to finish up here. They were talking about correct doctrine. Our Deeper Life talks about correct doctrine, and it's more of a conversation rather than a me teaching or somebody else teaching up here. So the conclusion, this is what I want you guys to walk away with today. Be careful on how you are acting among your peers. Show people the love of Christ, and go and make disciples, growing the kingdom of God one soul at a time. A lot of information in the book of Titus. I slowed way down. I was going to go through all 13 verses today. And after about several hours, I just said, I'm going to stop at verse 5. So if you guys feel like I picked on you, take it up with the Bible and God, okay? All right, because I had to share what the Bible says. I thank you all for being here. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. We do have one more worship song and then announcements. And then Brother Gary will be able to come and share his announcements after this worship video. Let me close in prayer real quick. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for discernment. Thank you for the book of Titus, Lord, because it applies to us today as it did back in Crete when you were telling them to have sound doctrine through the Titus, the young pastor. Lord God, CMA Church wants to make sure we have sound doctrine. We want to make sure we're teaching the gospel correctly, Lord. We want to make sure we're walking in the way of the Spirit and not ahead or behind, but right in step with you every step of the way, Lord God. We pray for CMA Church, Lord God. We ask that you just make this a place of sending out people. Send out, send out. Thank you for this time. I pray it was bringing honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Jesus is